Coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, very much in line with that global trend, the All Share down, but only just, as you can see there, with pressure, yes, being exerted on the Financial 15 and Industrial 25 fronts, but the Resources 10 component managing to buck the overall trend with its just over 1% climb. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Imtiaz Suleiman from Sentio Capital. Imtiaz, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So, the markets as a whole taking out aggressive positions on where the Fed is going to go. But chatting to a fixed income trader yesterday, he's not necessarily convinced that that we are going to see a cut come to the fore sooner rather than later. What's your take given today's inflation print on that end?
Thanks, Alicia. Yeah, I think we think it's still too early for the Fed to cut interest rates. You've still got US GDP that's growing quite steadily. Unemployment levels are at record low, and the risk of that is that inflation starts coming through faster than one likes in especially the labor market. So we think the June meeting, they will still be on hold, and July is when they'll probably look at a cut. But it all depends on how the US-China negotiations go at the end of the month at the G20 summit, if there is a deal or if Trump and Xi do meet.
Yeah. When it comes to Trump, I mean, what do you read into a comment, that came through from Trump saying that interest rates were way too high and the Federal Reserve had no clue? Do you treat it as just another tweet?
Yeah, I think for Trump, it's all about him getting the support, getting the equity markets to rally and make new highs. That's something that he focuses a lot on, and that's something that his support base also enjoys. So he's trying to push that economy as hard as he can, because he's up for re-election next year when the US have their elections in November. So he's going to take whatever it takes to keep the economy, especially in the US, going until then.
Of course, feeding into the inflationary scenario, and this on a global scale, oil prices, they've dropped more than 2% as a concern about a global economic slowdown come to the fore, and that despite expectations that OPEC will extend its supply curbs. Does stimulus, not only from the US, but out of China as well, fast unwind that or not really?
Yeah, oil is sort of a play on global growth. So if China does go out and stimulate the economy, there would be more demand, especially for oil. But I think what we're seeing in the short term, especially with regards to the oil price, is that the market is very worried about global growth in general. Besides the US, you've got China slowing, you've got India slowing. So big emerging markets are definitely slowing down. Outside of developed markets, which Europe is slowing as well. We've seen Germany enter sort of negative, the bond yields are negative. The market is very concerned around GDP growth there. So the world as a whole is slowing outside of the US.
Yep, and yet South Africa coming through with pretty impressive economic data this week. We had manufacturing numbers yesterday, surprising to the upside. Today, retail sales data adding to that. How circumspect are you about, what that really reflects?
Yeah. I think, after the surprise GDP number of minus 3.2%, we get excited at 2.4% retail sales, because we become so accustomed to sort of low or negative growth. But it's certainly encouraging. One of the factors is that the Easter holidays were in April this year compared to March last year. So that would have helped somewhat. And we had load shedding in March and not in April. So that would also be another factor. But I think if we do keep on this positive trend, it would help us sort of avoid a recession after the first quarter disastrous GDP number. And that would be very positive.
Yeah. What do you make of Tyme Bank turning to unsecured lending within this entire environment? Of course, it then ramps up competition against the likes of a Capitec, but it is still a very volatile climate and one that's still showing low growth.
Yeah, from the banking perspective, we've seen a number of new banks being launched and about to be launched, with Discovery Bank still coming to the market. And that's, putting pressure on fees in general in the banking sector. So the big four established banks, FirstRand, Standard Bank, Absa, and Nedbank, And Capitec as well, you know, they are going to come under pressure, especially from a fee perspective. And we've seen them trying to be more competitive, coming out with a zero-rated bank mm-hmm. accounts to compete against Zero Bank and, as you mentioned, Time Bank. So what we think is that the profit pool is being spread amongst more players in the banking sector. And Time Bank offering unsecured lending is another sort of challenger bank to the established big five banks.
Absolutely. Well, we see how competitive landscapes across the board are becoming. BAT are forced to change its strategy as well, going into that e-cigarette market a little bit more aggressively. The company is saying it expects revenue growth for the year at the business to be around the middle of the 30 to 50% range on a constant currency basis. That share price coming under pressure, though, down over 3% today. How are you feeling about BAT?
We think BAT offers value at these levels. The market is certainly concerned around the slow first half, but their strategy is all about sort of premiumizing their brand. So as volumes decline, they're charging more for their premium brands. And the growth in this business is really that NG and new generation products, which is your vaping products. And that, you know, as you said, they're still comfortable that they're going to grow at 30 to 50% for the year, which is quite healthy. So we think the dividend yield is very secure. They're trading at a 9.5x PE multiple. And it's certainly offering value, and we would be longer-term holders of British American Tobacco.
Okay, what's your stock pick amidst all?
I'm going for Libstar. Libstar is a food manufacturer based in South Africa, so they've got a number of brands. You know, Lancewood would be one of their brands, and they also do private manufacturing for the retailers, which is the private label products. And it's a very innovative company, which has been rolling out new products, and that's been driving growth in this business. And, you know, they're challenging the established businesses of Tiger Brands and Rhodes and Pioneers to some extent. And private label has really been the growth engine. And we think this is a structural growth opportunity that's going to carry on in South Africa.
One to watch. Let's leave the conversation there for now. Of course, MTS Suleiman is with Sentio Capital. What's your stock pick amidst all?
I'm going for Libstar. Libstar is a food manufacturer based in South Africa. So they've got a number of brands. You know, Lancewood would be one of their brands. And they also do private manufacturing for the retailers, which is the private label products. And it's a very innovative company, which has been rolling out new products, and that's been driving growth in this business. And, you know, they're challenging the established businesses of Tiger Brands and Rhodes and Pioneers to some extent. And private label has really been the growth engine, and we think this is a structural growth opportunity that's going to carry on in South Africa.
One to watch. Let's leave the conversation there for now. Of course, MTS Suleiman is with Sentio Capital.